let's talk about Governor Rauner, shall we? And I want to get your take, and I'll preface this by Pat was at one time the Republican Party chair for the state of Illinois. How is your party doing after the governor signing that abortion bill?
You know, a lot of people upset. They're the conservative part of the party. A lot of the conservative part of the party is in your listening area. So I think they're upset with what he did. And I know that the governor is personally calling all the elected officials to explain why he did what he did. And people are angry. It's an emotional issue. I understand that. I think he understands that. But the reality is, for the good of the party, and I think a lot of people feel this way, the party is a lot more unified on issues than not, and this is just a tough one, and we're going to work through it. But the reality is this, Scott: we either get together and support Governor Rauner in this upcoming election, or we're going to have a governor, whether it's J.B. Pritzker, who's Madigan's guy, and it's likely the nominee, that's going to increase your taxes, and they're not going to get any kind of reform. So it'll be a clear choice in November.
All right. Now I'm just going to speak for the people that were yelling at their radio right now after you said J.D. Pritzker is going to increase your taxes, because this is another thing I'm seeing and hearing from Republicans. It's our governor has raised – the Republicans have helped raise taxes now. And then the big one here, and it's not a little deal here, this abortion bill, where taxpayer dollars are going to help pay for some abortions. I mean, the Republicans are, they've got, I don't want to say blood on their hands, but there are some Republicans that help pass this tax increase.
Yeah, and they're going to have to answer to their constituents. In fact, a lot of them that voted for the override of the governor's veto aren't running again. But the political reality is the governor fought against this. He said no tax increase unless we get reforms. And he's the leader of the party, and that's what he wanted. Now, some people broke ranks with him, and they made that decision, but we'll see what their constituents say. But let's go back to the HB 40, which is the abortion issue and the funding issue. I think the governor said it best in his press conference. I know this was a tough decision. You talk to a lot of people, and the reality is abortion's been legal in this country for 43 years. The government provides health care insurance for poor women. So poor women don't get a medical procedure, agree or disagree, and I know it's an emotional issue, to which they are legally entitled under our Constitution that rich women can get. And I think he said, hey, we can't have people make that choice or be put in that position, so I'm going to sign this. And I know people don't agree, and people are very upset about it, but that's the decision he's made. He ran, and it's been very upfront that he was pro-choice, always has been. And he ran on that when he ran 2.5 years ago. So it's a tough one, but he made the call that he believed was the right call. And, again, I think Republicans are more unified on these other economic issues than they are upset by this one, which is a big one. I understand that.
You know, and then you've got some Illinois Republican congressional delegation voted to advance that H.R. 36. That's the Unborn Pain Capable Child Protection Act. You've got, let's see here, Adam Kinzinger, Darren LaHood, amongst some others, basically voting for this, and in their writings here, I'll just read: in a reversal of longstanding Illinois policy, Governor Rauner has let down Illinois taxpayers and the unborn by signing HB 40. Today, the Illinois delegation stands together in our support of HR 36 to protect human life. You've got an entire state congressional delegation kind of going after their own party's governor. Have you seen anything like that before?
Yeah, I've seen iterations of it. People are upset. But let's take a little step back, too. Governor Edgar, who was elected to 3 terms, probably one of the most popular governors downstate we've ever had, was pro-choice. Mark Kirk won statewide pro-choice. Judy Bartapinka, statewide pro-choice. I'm not belittling the issue. I understand that people feel strongly on the other side of it, but the reality is, another thing, our entire congressional delegation and every member of the Illinois House is pro-life. But there, when you get up in the 6 collar counties, where there's 12 million people, A lot of people agree with what the governor did and think if the government's going to be involved in providing health care, they can't discriminate against poor women on this procedure, which is very emotional. So politically, it might have put him in a better spot in the long run to win, but I know this was not a political decision for him. I know this was something that he believes and something he's believed for a long time, and that's where it came on. If you watch the press conference, I know it was a tough thing for him to do, but he did what he believed was right.
Hey, Pat Brady, do you think he'll be primaried?
Oh, there's talk about it. I don't see anybody that has the... You got to win statewide, and this is a big state. I think it went 600 miles from top to bottom. And you can't just throw your name on the ballot and expect to win. You got to have name ID. You got to have an organization. You have to have some funding. And I don't see how anybody at this point, particularly since the nominating petitions are due in less than 2 months, and you have to get 10,000 signatures, I don't see how anybody realistically thinks that they could challenge the governor. So I highly doubt it.
All right. So let's move on. What do you, we're just about ready to enter the fall veto session. That's always fun. What do you expect to come out of that? What are they going to be working on?
You know, probably not much. It's going to be super newsworthy just because it is the veto session on some, and I don't think there are a whole lot of controversial issues. And back to the abortion thing, I think I do need to say, there is a political component to this from the Democrat side, and give Speaker Madigan credit. He's a master politician. But if the Democrats truly wanted this piece of legislation, they could have done it years ago. They had the supermajority 2 years ago, could have easily done this. But what Speaker Madigan does, and he plays political chess, is he throws this up at a time to create the most controversy close to an election. So the big controversial issue, the governor's kind of taken away from because what he did last week. But I think the big battle for Illinois politically, at least in the legislative process, is going to be when we start working on the next budget, and that'll be in January.
All right. You want to touch on the national level here? I got the story this morning that Vice President Mike Pence's chief of staff yesterday called for a purge of Republican lawmakers who don't rally behind the president's agenda here. He said, just imagine the possibilities of what can happen if our entire party unifies behind Trump. And this,
yeah, and I know Nick Ayers. He actually worked here for a while. I think those were recorded at a private meeting at the Republican National Committee meeting, and I think he chose his words poorly because it now appears that he's threatening people, if you don't get on board with us, then we're going to go after you. And I don't think that's the way to get a legislative agenda done. I do think he makes a good point that the Republicans nationally need to get some points on the board here. They need to get this tax reform done, maybe some kind of infrastructure bill, because it's hard to run in midterms with accomplishments that people aren't really tuned in. And I know there's a lot more that's been done legislatively than Republicans get credit for, but right now it appears that none of the president's agenda is getting through, and he needs to get something done.
He needs a win. Why not go with infrastructure next?
Listen, Scott, you and I talked about it a year ago. I thought should have gone with infrastructure first, because that's not only something we really need. It would help jumpstart the lower wage into the economy, which needs it. It would also help the unions and then the union jobs, which are critically important. President Reagan's coalition 30 years ago, we had a lot of private sector union support, which I think would have, that infrastructure bill would have gone a long way to helping us get back. But he chose not to do that. He chose to start with health care, which is always, if you look at the history of that bill, always creates problems in the next election for the party that takes charge on it.
Yeah, I think infrastructure would be the way to go. And it has a chance of passing. I mean, both the Republicans and the Democrats would benefit from this. They both want to do something with
infrastructure. Yeah, we need one here, too. We need a capital bill here, too. I think Senator Brady's been working on that. And with Leader Durkin, we need that badly. I travel around the state and see some of the condition of some of the roads here. It's really bad. Plus, we are an island of a bad economy. If you look at the states around us, Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan, Indiana, they're all booming. And this state circling the drain economically, and we need some to jumpstart our economy. And again, that goes back to this election coming up in a year. We can vote for Democrats. It's going to give you more tax increases and more of the same bad Democratic policies that got us here. You can vote for a guy like Governor Rauner is truly trying to institute some reforms.
Well, something that's, and you're well aware of it being talked about, and that is an increase in the gasoline tax, and 5 cents a gallon seems to be the number. My guess is that's going to happen. What's yours?
You know, a tax increase in this environment is pretty tough for anybody. We're right up, I don't know if you follow it at all, but in Cook County, they put this big tax on sugary drinks.
Oh, yeah. We're smiling at that now here. We're looking at that going, what are they doing up there?
It might be the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life politically, because not only did they impose the tax, but when you get your receipt, I don't know if you've been up here lately, it breaks out the tax, so you know exactly what you're getting taxed. It's not buried in sales tax or something. So that's going to be voted on in the Cook County Board on October 10th. But, yeah, is the gas tax the right way to go? I don't know. I know it's being debated, but you have to pay for things. We can't do any more deficit spending. But I'm not – long answer to your question, Scott. I'm not sure where that goes.
Yeah, I mean, if it passes, and it could easily pass, and then it sits on the governor's desk, and you're looking at, what, $350 million a year?
Pardon me?
How much money are they talking about generating with a 5 cent a gallon tax? It's an incredible amount of money. And, boy, we're all in agreement that the roads are falling apart.
Yeah, they're bad. You know, that 55 from here until you get almost to Pontiac is really not in great shape. Something needs to be done. But the reality is we're a state that's bankrupt, and we've got to get – even the budget that was just passed is not balanced. We're still accumulating debt, and we're only going to issue $6 billion in bonds on $14 billion in debt. So there's still big structural debt issues that the state needs to deal with. And again, and the governor says this better than me, we can't tax our way to prosperity. We need to have this economy grow. Companies can't be leaving like they're doing every day. And I was just talking to my cousin Dan, State Representative Brady. He's working on a bill just to try to, with Chapin Rose, just to try to keep people in the colleges and universities here. People are leaving, and when people leave, we need more taxpayers, not more taxes.
Yeah, I just saw something this morning. The tuition costs in the state of Illinois are some of the highest in the country. I want to say in the top five in the country.
Yeah, I think it's I have two kids in out-of-state colleges, and they're paying not a whole lot more than they would pay to go in-state to the University of Illinois.
Yeah, it's kind of tough.
Let alone getting in. And that's one question I have. It's such a hard – it's a great school. So hard to get into, but it's cost prohibitive for a lot of people.
Yeah. Hey, and
– But we've always got – hey, listen, we've always got ISU, which from what I understand is one of the best values education to dollars. I think we were talking about this a couple weeks ago. None of it's cheap, but ISU is actually – a pretty good value.
Right. And relatively speaking, you're talking about Eastern and Western and Southern, much more financially sound as well. So they have
money. Yeah, all those
doing smart things with it.
Near shutdown, weren't they, during the budget?
Yeah. Well, furlough days, yeah. It was not good. Not good at all. And finally, I got this morning, according to a study by Anderson Economic Group, they consultancy here, and they work with auto manufacturers and big companies. They did some numbers crunching and came out with the fact that Chicago rates second in the hunt for the Amazon headquarters. The only city that's better, comes out better, is New York. So Los Angeles, Boston, Atlanta, Washington, Philadelphia, even Denver, behind Chicago. That's got to be good news. What are you hearing? Anything?
Yeah, you know, I'm hearing I don't want to be overly optimistic, and after my Trump predictions, I quit prognosticating, but I hear nothing but good things, and the sites they're talking about putting it would be a real shot in the arm to the Illinois economy. But we talked last time on your program, we need to spread that around a little bit. Downstate needs some economic help, too, I think. So hopefully if they do come, there's some satellites, not just in the city of Chicago, but that would be a big boom to the Illinois economy.
Yeah, our economic, local economic development council is on that like stink on a monkey. All right. Well, that'd be great, man. 50,000 jobs, maybe even more. And what's the word here? The city and state are scheduled to file a joint bid by, well, within a week or so. And then Amazon's expected to cut it down, the competitors anyway, down at least once, maybe twice before they make a decision at the end of the year. So it's going to come fast.
Yeah, I remember it kind of reminds me of the Olympic bid. Remember that?
Yeah.
Everybody was watching it. We didn't make it beyond the first round.
Well, I think this is a little better than the Olympics. The Olympics is for
a couple of weeks. Yeah, I think we've got a I don't want to be overly optimistic, but I think we've got a real shot in the cities you mentioned. I mean, if you could come to Chicago, just quality of life versus living in New York, it's not even a close call.
Yeah,
it's substantially easier and better to live in Chicago than New York.
All right, Pat.
So I hope that'd be great. It'd be great. And then, you know, give the governor, give Mayor Emanuel credit if they can pull this off, because I know they're working together on it. This would be a big win.
All right. We all have our fingers crossed here. Good talking to you. We'll do it again in a couple of weeks, maybe.
All right, anytime, Scott.
Get ready for the ball veto session here.